Welcome to the show, Manila.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
So Manila, can you tell my listeners how you got started into doing drag?
How did I start doing it? Well, first I started by shaving my beard off. I started doing drag when I was like 19 or 20 years old, when I first come out of the closet. I thought, since I'm out now, I might as well come out with all these gowns that are inside the closet with me.
Right.
So, yeah, once I decided to be open with everyone I knew about who I am, I thought, might as well bring out someone else for them to get to know as well, right?
Right. So how would you describe Manila? Do you think she would be like the mean girls, or do you think she'd be like one of these girls that would just be friends to everybody?
I have no idea. I mean, I just kind of the character of Manila is just kind of like another extension of who I am.
Right.
Well, that being said, I was quite popular in high school, even though I didn't really try at it. I didn't really have a place in like the high school spectrum, you know. Like, I was kind of like a floater. I was friends with the jocks, the cheerleaders, the band geeks, the theater people, the artists, and even the pregnant girls. I've been kind of friends with like a whole bunch of different kinds of people, so I don't really know. For sure I'm a mean girl.
I liked when season 3 first came on TV. I mean, I was trying to, you know, figure out, you know, everybody on the show and try to, you know, see what they're like and stuff like that. Something about your character of Manila really intrigued me, because, you know, she came up with this group called the Heathers. It's always like about the Heathers and the Boogers. So a lot of people don't know about the Heathers and the Boogers. It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like the three, you know, popular, you know, girls that are on the show, and then the less, you know, pretty girls that were also on the show. And, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, how you know, they're trying to, you know, how they're feeling then. Because I really felt more drawn to the Heathers than the Boogers.
Oh, well, I feel like that during season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race, when we were in this competition together, when you're thrown into like this like completely different surreal world where you're battling it out with like these people that you just met.
Right.
It, you know, like any kind of game, like, you know, reality competition show, you know, you start to form allies because, you know, you don't know who to trust. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know who's got your back, but you got to kind of put it out there. And, you know, I guess I had known Carmen Carrera. I'd worked with her back in New York City from before.
Right.
And so we're drawn to each other because we had, you know, known each other before. And then we're able to, in that, you know, fish tank situation, we're able to, you know, form a little bit closer bond with each other. And it just so happened that we started getting close with, you know, like-minded people like Delta and Raj. I mean, we all have very different outlooks on how we do drag, but we have like a really fully rounded way of like doing our drag, and we're very passionate about it, and we are very detail oriented and very meticulous, and I think that's what drew us together as a, you know, in the competition. And mind you, season 3 was back when, you know, it was still kind of more of a beauty pageant than, like, you know, say a what RuPaul's Drag Race has turned into over the current seasons, which is more like a
mm-hmm.
you know, like, it really doesn't matter what the hell you can wear anymore, as long as, you know, you have, like, a fun backstory about how, you know, your dad beat you, and you are raised by wolves in Nova Scotia somewhere. I don't know. yeah, I mean, it was fun. I mean, I'm still close friends with my Heathers. We mm-hmm. talk to each other at least once a week. I see Raja mostly because, you know, I moved to Los Angeles and, you know, we're neighbors now, so I see her quite
often. Oh, wow. Well, I also felt that Raja is kind of like the drag sister I never really had, because she brings that fierceness to the competition that like every queen brings out, and when they're getting closer and closer to the crown, and how they try to, you know, make it to like how that what they can give in order to you know, to prove to Rue that they're worthy of having the crown, and, you know, and representing that season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and, you know, what can they do to make their fans, you know, more accepting to how they do their drag. I mean, I personally don't know that many, you know, drag queens that I grew up around, but I have friends who do it, but, you know, they do it as a profession, as like as their job, like, you know, like every day. You know, I admire people who actually do that, because that's just most inspiring, someone who can actually, you know, do something like that and feel comfortable with themselves, that they can, you know, have that as their career.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a job. And most drag queens I know don't have, like, a day job. I mean, and even if they do, I mean, it's just there to, you know, help pay their bills so they can jump back into the gown and get back on stage. You know,
right.
Since a lot of times, like, drag doesn't really pay well. I mean, it really wasn't really considered a true career. And so I feel like recently when, you know, it became popular and RuPaul's Drag Race kind of opened up people's eyes to how much work is going into it, because I feel like before Drag Race, I feel like it was just like, you know, viewed as like the lowest denominator, especially in the gay community.
Right. You know, I mean, it takes, like, you know, I always say it takes a lot of courage and everything to as a gay man put on a dress and go out there and entertain your fans, and, you know, and actually, you know, do your job and, you know, stuff like that. Cause I personally, you know, I feel that it's one of the most things that you got to do is have, like, a lot of courage to do it, you know, in order to feel comfortable with yourself and, you know, and feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, like, dressing up in a costume where you don't look anything like yourself it's like putting on, like, a superhero costume. So it really does actually, like, putting on all the drag and looking at yourself in the mirror after everything's finished, you know, it really kind of opens up, like, another side of you,
mm-hmm.
which allows, like, you know, kind of extra boost of courage to go out there and, you know, just do it. I mean, I remember when I started doing drag, I had just moved to New York City, and I was living in the Bronx, and, you know, the closest gay bar was, like, a half-hour train ride down into Manhattan, and, you know, I didn't have much money, so I'd have to jump on the subway and take it in the middle of the night, and, you know, that was, it was rough, but I did it anyway. I just sucked it up, sat on the train, and if someone wanted to pick a fight with me, I just had to deal with it. But, yeah, it does take a lot of courage to kind of put yourself out there and, you know, experience the world in a new outfit.
Mm-hmm. So are you currently, like, doing any touring right now, Manila?
Yeah, actually I am. This week I'm going to Brazil. I'm going to be performing in Sao Paulo. And then next month I'm going to London, and then Stockholm, Sweden, and then New York City, and Yeah, and it just keeps going. I'm always traveling.
Do you have any plans of coming to Columbus, Ohio?
I was in Columbus, Ohio for New Year's.
If I knew that you were in town, I would have came to see you. You know, You know, I just got done. I got to meet Adore Delano, and I got to meet Jocelyn Fox. I mean, I love Adore Delano because she has that energy where, you know, she is so friendly and welcoming and stuff like that. Because I mean, she's not this type of
She's a very charming person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've met a lot of drag queens who do not want to, you know, have a picture taken with their fans and stuff like that. I really don't like people who are like that. I like someone who's like, you know, just welcoming and, you know, that their energy is so warm and everything. I mean, something about Adore Delano, she's just so, you know, brilliant and stuff like that. I love her music and stuff like that. You know, She just basically cracked me up when I met her in person. I mean, she was taller than me. I have to tell you. I am 6 foot, and I think she had been about like 6'3" when she was wearing her heels. And
I'm like 6'7" when I'm in heels.
And I'm going like, hello, you know. I'm like, I just felt so small when I'm like standing next to Adore Delano.
Well, you should wear higher shoes, darling. Next time you stand next to her, and maybe a taller wig.
I would have loved to, but, you know, I mean, I didn't think nothing of it. You know, I thought, you know, maybe she's going to, you know, be like the same height as me. You know, I'm going to meet her and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm like, hello, you know.
That's what high heels do to you.
They do. I'm like, you know, I never personally wore heels or anything like that, but I'm like, you know, I don't think I could ever walk in them, to tell you the truth. You know, if I got the heel stuck in something, I'll be like going like, ah, I'll like these like fashion roadkill.
Yeah, well, it can be done. Lots of women do it, and lots of men do it as well. So it just
yeah,
it's just a pair of heels that fit you and look sickening, and start practicing, mm-hmm. honey.
So did when you first started doing drag, did you have someone guide you doing the proper ways of doing drag, like how to beat your face and how to do like a proper talk, or how to do like everything properly that you don't like?
I didn't really have like a drag mother or any like person that like sat me down and helped me. I mean, I learned how to do my makeup in my mom's bathroom with my mom's cosmetics, just looking at pictures, playing around. I'm an artist, so like I had a kind of a concept of how like shadow and highlight, you know, can change the structure of your face with makeup. So it was just a lot of like trial and error, picking up tips from some queens here and there, figuring out where the best place to buy something is from whomever I could find, you know, get any kind of information from. But yeah, most of it was just kind of self-taught, and I learned how to do my drag before like you could just log on to YouTube and find a makeup tutorial that will just spell everything out for you. So yeah, it was a long process to get to where I am. I really think that my drag I'm really proud of my drag because I know where it came from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a work in progress for years and years and years.
Of course. I mean, you just cannot like wake up one day that, you know, you're like going to say like, oh, you know, my drag is going to be flawless tonight, or there's not going to be like no hint of mistake or whatever. I mean, everybody is not perfect. You know, I mean, you're going to learn these things over and over again until you actually get it right.
Well, I mean, whatever's not perfect, you just have to Photoshop out all the flaws. I'm learning new tricks every day. My drag is ever evolving. As I get older and, like, you know, I change my I'm not as young as I used to be. I used to be able to just throw on some cute lipstick and some mascara, and I looked fishy as fuck. Now I got to try a little extra hard. Yeah, but it, I mean, in drag style, like, just has changed considerably over the last, you know, few years. So, especially since Drag Race has kind of introduced the drag world to, like, new standards of how to do, like, makeup and hair and whatever. I'm always changing my drag and it's always going to look different. I always try to make myself look better in drag from the last time. You know, I always try to improve myself, even if it's like a little bit.
Right. So since being on RuPaul's Drag Race, how has it changed your life?
Oh, I mean, it's completely changed my life. I mean, it's now my sole career. I used to be a graphic designer. I went to school for graphic design in Minnesota, and I worked at a design firm in New York City for many years before being on the show. And then once I was on the show, I realized that I was, you know, making more money being a famous drag queen from TV than I was, you know, working my desk job. But yes, that's changed my life. I mean, it's given me a whole new career. It's changed how, I mean, I've traveled because of it. I've met a whole bunch of fun people. I've worked and collaborated with many different artists in different fields. So, like, you know, do my drag. So, yeah, I mean, it's changed my life considerably, and it's still changing my life. So I'm really excited that drag is a part of who I am.
Right. I remember when season three started, and like Rue had all the girls in the workroom, and all of a sudden, you know, this box comes out, and I know you girls were like going like, oh my god, who's in the box? Who's in the box? And all of a sudden, here comes Shangela out of the box. So how did you feel that when Shangela came out of the box?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. We filmed that like 4 years ago, so I barely remember my reaction. I mean, except for the reaction. I don't know what was going through my head. I just knew that it was like enough. When someone else came for the box, it didn't matter who it was. It was just one more competitor that I needed to deal with. I mean, I knew DJ from before because DJ and Sahara were friends from college. It was my first time actually meeting Shangela. So yeah, it was a extra twist. I don't know. I wasn't really too worried because she had booked home the first one to go home last the last season before my season two. So
yeah.
So whenever they add an extra player or they bring someone back or, you know, they twist up the game somehow, it's just like, oh, all right, I thought I just got rid of this person, so I had to get rid of them again. You know, that kind of situation.
It's
exhausting filming that show.
Right. You know, I was really hoping for you to win the crown, Manella, so you would win that season. And, you know,
I was hoping,
you know, and when Rue announced it, who won, I was gone like, really? You know? And I was gone like, I'm like, you know, my girl was robbed. I mean, she could have brought home the crown and, you know, and did all these amazing things and stuff like that.
You know, the thing about it is that, like, I was up in, I was in competition with, like, a seasoned pro. I mean, Raja, you know, she's been doing drag for, like, 30 years now. I mean, she's just really experienced. She's very artistic. She's a very amazing sense of style. She's very creative. She can whip drag up that, like, no one would ever, in a way that no one would ever think of how to do. And it always looks the same. She's long and tall and beautiful and lean and beautiful and gorgeous. I mean, she's also Asian, so, like, you know, her looks are down, honey. These Asian beauties are so damn pretty.
Yeah.
You know, she came from she's a makeup artist by trade. She came from a reality show, America's Next Top Model, on the other side of the production. So, you know, she knew how, you know, she knew what goes into, like, trying to mentally trick people, like the contestants. So, you know, she had upper hand. I mean, she won fair and square. So we were trying to knock her off her place. I tried my best, tried my hardest, but she won the money, but that's okay because it was. I'm pretty sure it's all gone now.
If you ever come back to Columbus, Ohio, I would sure would love to meet you and stuff like that. You know, I think I know I never met you or anything like that. You know, I'm always saying I'm friends with you in my head, you know, and, you know, we'll be like, you know, like hanging out and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I think you'll be the most awesome person to ever meet and actually get to know when you're not in drag and when you're not, you know, when you're not like in front of the camera or not when you're like entertaining fans and stuff like that. I think you'll be like the most really interesting and intriguing person when you're not doing all that.
Oh, thanks. I mean, yeah, because the show is like it's a reality show, and I was hamming it up a little bit extra for the cameras and stuff, but, you know, it's like kind of a accurate representation of who I was at the time. So, I mean, I get that a lot, like where I come into people's living rooms and they watch me and they get to know me. And so it's not uncommon for people to feel like they know me. I mean, I feel close connection with, like, the people that I watch on TV and that I'm rooting for in other shows. And, like, even the new seasons of Drag Race where I'm not quite, like, I don't know all the queens, but I get to know them from watching the show. So when I finally do get to meet with them and work with them, I feel like, oh, yeah, this is the first time actually meeting you, so... Yeah, no, I totally understand how that is. It's kind of it's one of the nice things about reality TV. It's like we're playing ourselves, so you actually do get a introduction to who we are.
Right. So since you've been touring all over the United States, Canada, and like Europe, what would you say would your most fun, you know, like city or country you ever, you know, been at? What would be your most favorite? Like city or country, and why?
Oh, no, I can't even answer that question. I travel so much, and every place is so unique and different. And it's not really about necessarily the venue or the, you know, the stage or the nightclub. It's really about the people that I meet on the road. Because, you know, some places I get, I'm able to make some friends, and other times I'm able to, like, be working with other queens from the show, and that changes how the experience is for me. You know, I my first time ever in Las Vegas, I was with the Heathers, and it was the most fun gig I've ever had, because it was like right fresh off the show. Like, you know, we were like the most popular we had ever been at the time. And I was getting to spend, like, be in, like, the Sin City with, like, my best friends from the show. And it was a lot of fun. I went back a few months later, but I was by myself. Completely different experience. So it's really hard to say. But I've been to, you know, Australia. I've been to Spain. I've been to England, Scotland, Ireland. The list goes on and on, and it's really about, like, the people that I get to meet and the people I get to experience. It's not really, like, necessarily like a city. I love traveling. I've always loved traveling, and that's great, but I can't pick a favorite.
Right.
It's hard to pick, especially because I travel so much.
Right. So when you're not traveling, Manila, do you have, like, a favorite spot in, like, Los Angeles that you retreat to in order to, like, you know, regroup yourself and re-energize yourself and just, like, just you just want to have, like, some downtime and me time. Do you have, like, a favorite spot in Los Angeles to do that?
I guess just my house. But, I mean, it's not really, like, it's just completely full of drag, so it's not really like a break, because it's just like a piles and piles of drag that I just, I'm staring at thinking like, oh, I have to pack this up for the next gig. it's just a lot of recovery and sleeping.
Right, and you know, you have all the jet lag and stuff like from going like from wherever to wherever, and you're going like, oh, I'm so tired, from all the traveling. You're going like, but you got to see all these cool places and stuff like that. I have a question from one of my friends on Facebook. Her name is Rose, and she was wanting to know what is more painful. Say more painful. Would being the tucking be more painful, or just try and make sure that you're trying to get into like this like a really good dress that you see and you want and you know it's not the size that you could possibly get into.
Well, I don't like wearing dresses that don't fit me because it's why would you wear clothes that don't fit you?
If you're into the whole entire like
tucking clothes. And I guess, the heels hurt, the wig hurts, the corset hurts, everything hurts. Drag is really painful. Even the lashes on your eyes freaking hurt.
Oh.
And you can't scratch your face. It's one of the most uncomfortable things ever. Yeah, drag is really uncomfortable. But it looks pretty, at least.
Yeah, I would have to say, if I didn't know that you're a guy, I would say, Manoa's really, a really pretty girl. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah,
you don't
know that many actual girls then, do you?
Well,
I
know,
like a pretty girl
know.
She's wearing drag makeup and
right.
like a 6-foot
weight. Right. Even with when Courtney Act was on season 6, I thought she was an actual real girl because she was so pretty.
Oh yeah, but that's also because that's the reason why we don't have we never stand next to real women. The only real biological woman on that show is Michelle Visage, and she's made up to look like a drag queen. She's made up to look like a drag queen, so she blends in, so we don't all look like truck driver dudes next to her.
Right.
Yeah, of course. It's really hard to Yeah, it's all about the fantasy. It's all about the illusion. Yeah, so it's nice to hear that we're doing our job, that we've convinced you that we're ladies.
I mean, tell the truth, I can tell. I mean, there are some times that I can't really tell, and sometimes there are times that I can tell. I mean, it depends on.
Well, that's because you can't smell us on TV. It smells like a locker room in that workroom, darling. Covered up with perfume.
Oh yeah. So if you had a lip sync for your life, what song would it be and why?
I don't understand your question.
I mean, when you're on a show and you had a lip sync for your life, what song would it be and why?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. What would be my ideal song to lip sync to?
Yeah.
If I was to be lip syncing for my life?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I guess maybe MacArthur Park, since it saved me that first time. It was the only one that I did that actually did save me. So, yeah, probably, yeah. MacArthur Park, Donna Summer. Cross-eyed, Big Bird.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge Donna Summer fan, so I love her music. So how has Manoa changed since being on the show? Did she change a lot, or has she stayed the same?
I think she's changed. I think I've changed as a drag performer. Yeah, I've stepped up my game. I have a little bit more budget to work with for my look, so that, always helps. Because before, it was just a kind of a hobby that I would do. Like, I would kind of maybe go out and drag maybe once a month to a party. Not going to perform, really. So, yeah, that's kind of changed. I mean, I do it a lot more, so I have to have a lot more outfits to wear because apparently it's a big no-no to wear the outfit more than 2 times. Gosh, I was here from the fans. Like, who have you seen that wig on you? I'm like, girl, that was yesterday. I'm still on the road. I only brought so many wigs with me.
But yeah, it's a complete change. I'm doing it like every week now. I'm doing it multiple times a week. I haven't had armpit hair in like years. So there you go. That's how my life has changed. I'm a drag queen. Oh, and I have the worst bunions on my worst looking feet now from wearing heels so much.
So, there's another question I was going to ask you. Are you still close with the other queens from your season? Do you have like a favorite one that you hang out every day or get the chance to see like every once in a while?
Yeah, I mean, it was always a pleasure to see any of the queens from my season. I mean, I see Raja mostly. We remained close friends since the show. I don't see Delta as much as I would like to, even though we both live in Los Angeles, but we live in like different parts of Los Angeles, so she's kind of far away from me. But I do try to stay in touch with Delta and Carmen a lot. And it's always a pleasure. I mean, Mariah just moved across the street from me, so
I've
seen more of her. But yeah, we're all, a lot of us are all busy, so it's like we don't all get to see each other. A lot of us are traveling, and you know, we all came from different parts of the country, so I don't get to see a lot of girls. I moved to Los Angeles. There's a lot of Drag Race girls that have migrated to Los Angeles, so I get to see a lot of my Drag Race sisters quite frequently. But yeah, I mean, it's always a pleasure to see the girls. I mean, being on that show, they're the only ones that really can truly relate to the whole drag experience from after being on the show. You know, because being a drag queen, you know, you have your commonalities, but if you were on the show, even especially on the same season, you really, you know, have a special like bond.
Right, kind of like the drag sisterhood.
It's like a drag sisterhood of the traveling talk, honey.
I just recently had on my show. I had Alaska Thunderfuck on my show, and you know, I asked her about you know what was it like working with you in her Rude Girls video. And she goes like, you know, Manila was really sweet. You know, she's lovely, and you know, I'm like, you know, I would love to get, you know, like would love to have you on my show and everything. Then like, and I got to have you on my show, and I just adore you for having you on my show.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to talk about myself whenever you want, darling. So hit me up later.
So what was it like? What was it like working with Alaska on her Rue Girls video?
It was fun. I love the concept of the Rue Girl, like exactly like what I was just saying. It is like a sisterhood. It's like once you get casted on the show, you're a Rue Girl, and nothing can take that away from you. Even if you're voted, even if you're booted off the first episode, you know, you're a Rue Girl. We're all experiencing this this TV miracle together. It is like a sisterhood. You know, we don't all get along, but we all have that, like, respect for each other as, like, artists. Because, I mean, it takes a lot of guts to, like, not only put on a dress and, like, go out, but to do it in front of millions of people worldwide and be, you know, up, you know, putting yourself out there for any kind of, like, criticism and stuff like that. It was great to work on the video. I love Alaska's sense of humor. I love her style of drag. I love that Alaska's drag is almost a parody of drag in a way. Like, you know, like drag is like it's almost like a parody of like, you know, of like a woman, you know, and hers is a parody of drag, I feel like. It's great working with her. It was fun photo shoot. And it was great. We always work with each other, so. Whenever she performs it on, whenever we're together and she performs it live on stage, I always come out for that part. I'm sitting with Manila. No, I'm actually sitting with Manila. I'm very honored that she wrote me into her song.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I had her on my show and everything. She's been so sweet and so lovely, you know, like, you know. And, you know, what the funny thing is, I mean, we grew up in the same state and stuff like that, you know, but, you know, hundreds of miles away, you know. And, you know, I didn't know that. You know, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and she was up towards, like Erie and stuff like that. And I'm like, cool. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I didn't know that, you know, until, you know, we were talking about it. And she goes, Jason, where are you originally from? I'm like, you know, I'm originally, you know, from Indiana, Pennsylvania. And she was like, oh, yeah, I know where that's at, you know. And then she was like, then she lived in, like, in Pittsburgh and stuff like that. I didn't live that too far away from Pittsburgh and stuff like that, you know. It's kind of, you know, uncanny that you grew up in the same state, but you never met each other.
Yeah.
That's what I, you know, that's just really interesting because, you know, I never got to meet Alaska yet, but, you know, I always, you know, I was, you know, had talked to her on my show, but, you know, that's the only thing I, you know, that's one of my things I would want to do is, like, actually meet her.
Well, so, yeah, you'll go to her website, find out where she is, and maybe she'll be nearby.
Yeah, but right now she's not going to be, like, anywhere near me right now, but she's, like, you know, she's traveling right now for, but yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, she might come back to Columbus, Ohio, and I'll, like, run into her, you know, at like, Axis or whatever, you know, I mean, that's where, you know, I go to see, like, any of the girls that come, you know, come to Columbus, you know, to, you know, watch them perform and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I get a lot of people telling me, oh, you should come to, you know, New Mexico, or you should come to, you know, New Orleans and stuff like that. I mean, I would love to go everywhere. I wish I could to see all the fans. It's really fun to, like, you know, show up to some place you've never been and be greeted with an audience full of people that are really excited to see you, who've been watching you on the show, even the ones that are coming there just to freaking pass judgment on you. I'm excited to see them too. I'm like, I'm going to prove you wrong. You're going to love me. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. There's only so many days in a week. Most venues only, like, bringing us out on weekends because that's, like, the popular night. So, you know, there's only so many weekends in a year, and, you know, we get booked up, like, months in advance. So, like, it's hard to get to everywhere that you just want to go to. But,
right.
You know, yeah, like, I have so many Brazilian fans, and I'm really excited to finally get to Brazil and see them. I mean, I'm going to be in Sao Paulo. I won't be able to go to Rio this time. But, you know, hopefully I'll be back, you know, in the next few years to, you know, get my ass to Rio and see my Rio fans. But otherwise, yeah, I got to go to Chile, I got to Argentina, I got to go to Ecuador, Colombia. Just start now on my South American tour. I got lots of cities down there, too. I got fans all over the world. It's crazy. But luckily, there's so many of us Drag Race girls that, you know, at least there's at least one drag queen in every city at every given moment, right?
Right, right. You know, I mean, you never know. You might be, like, sharing a hotel with another, you know, queen that's going to be at another club, you know. You know, it's one of those things you're going, like, you know, I'm going to be at, like, so-and-so. And you're like, right. You know, like, yeah, I'm going to be there, too, you know.
Exactly.
I'm just drawn to the people who actually have, like, you know, you know, really high energy and stuff like that. I'm like, if you don't have the high energy and stuff like that, or if you don't take time to get to know your fans, I try not to socialize with people like that. But I mean, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm like, you know, I'll try to get to know them and, you know, and see what they're like as a performer or entertainer or, you know, or recording artist, you know. But that's, I just don't like when people, like, who are that, you know, going, like, ugh, you know, like, you know, I'm like God's gift to gay men or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I try not to take myself too seriously. I don't think I ever really have. When it all comes down to it, I'm still a man in a dress. I'm the, you know, like, I'm not Kris Jenner or Madonna or
right.
Lady Gaga or shit, even, you know, I don't know. I mean, not who. But I mean, it's, I'm lucky to have a fan base all over the place. So I'm really lucky. I'm always humbled by the whole thing. I realize that this is almost like possibly just a trend. Who knows if people are going to get sick of drag performers, like, in 2 years, you know, they might be over the whole thing. You know, it might be like American Idol where, you know, you don't even remember who's on it. It's just one of those TV shows that just keeps happening. Oh, they're on season 17, you know, so.
Or they're on, you know, cycle 20, like America's Top Model or whatever, you know, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, where it's not even about the contestants anymore. It's just about, like, oh, what fight is Michelle Visage going to get in with Santino this season, kind of deal. Yeah, who knows? I mean, that's one thing that's interesting, though. Like, the characters, or the, you know, the drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race are very interesting, mm-hmm. So I feel like it won't be slowing down anytime soon. There's always so many different... And, you know, Drag Race is really only touching on, like a small portion of the drag community. There's so many more drag queens out there that are very different. So, you know, I'm
right.
Excited to watch the show.
Right. So what is, I'm not sure if like when the next season comes out, you know, I've been seeing that, that there's going to be, some, you know, queens that will have like beards and stuff like that. What is your reaction for a drag queen having a beard? Do you think that is kind of like they're trying to, it's kind of like a misconception of like them having a beard,
think,
looking like a lady?
I don't really think that there's anything, there's not really any particular rules. I mean, I feel like maybe the first few seasons of Drag Race kind of started to set standards, but those standards are now only there to be broken because I feel like I was saying, like, you only see a select group of drag queens, and, you know, there's so many different kinds of drag, and there are lots of people that do drag that you wouldn't really consider drag. I mean, there's drag kings, there's faux queens, there's bearded queens, there's, and, you know, androgyny queens. You can paint yourself in a with some glitter on your ass and you could be a drag queen if you wanted to be. You know, there's no real rule to it. So, I mean, I feel like RuPaul's Drag Race, you know, it's still open to showing off all these different kinds. I mean, I know that, like, Milk was very popular on this last season because, you know, Milk came out there with a mustache, Milk showed up, you know, in a suit, and people were really excited about that because they hadn't seen it on the show before. I mean, I've seen it all over New York City for years and years and years. I've seen it all over the world, but, like, they hadn't introduced it to the show. You know, kind of like when Needles showed up and they're like, oh, this is a drag queen, but she's kind of gothy and witchy, you know.
Right.
And she's not about, you know, on the show she was kind of like, she was kind of grotesque looking. Like, she wasn't afraid to, like, bleed from her mouth, or, you know, she wasn't trying to be like your standard pretty beauty queen. And I feel like a lot of people were able to relate to that. And now it's, like, you know, popular to do that style of drag.
Right.
Because they've seen it. Not that it was, you know, there's just so many different kinds of drag out there. So who knows? Maybe next year there'll be bearded queens. Maybe the year after that there'll be transgendered, you know, performers. Maybe there'll be a biological woman who does male drag. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
There's
right.
The possibilities are endless. There could be like I know there's yeah, I mean there's not really anything. There could be Club Kids, there could be, you know, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
Or like these clown nuns, you know. there's so many different kinds of drag out there. So I feel like the possibilities are endless. I mean, this you could come out there in like a, I don't know, you could come out there in a chicken suit, and if that's your drag, then maybe that's your drag.
Or you could just like show up in a burlap sack. Oh, this is my drag. You know, it's called peasant.
Yeah, potato drag.
So I know, like in the previous seasons on RuPaul's Drag Race, where there were contestants on the show where they were like transitioning from, you know, say like male to female, but they weren't really open about it until, you know, they, you know, kind of, you know, like kind of like they kind of not like broke down, but I mean like kind of feel like they felt vulnerable to the point where they would share. You know, I mean, tell you the truth, I never thought, you know, Carmen was transitioning, but she made a pretty boy, and she was a pretty boy and everything like that. I'm like, you know, I didn't know she was transitioning and stuff like that. And I'm like,
well, it doesn't really matter what you look like, because, you know, it's what what you want to feel like. I mean, honestly, I know, like for Carmen's sake, everyone's like, but she was such a pretty boy, or she was such a handsome guy, and I was like, well, that's not really the point. I mean, she felt like she was a woman, and it really doesn't matter. I mean, the handsome guy turned into a beautiful woman, so, you know, there it is. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the drag community and the trans community is very close, because, I mean, the drag community is a great and safe environment for a person that wants to wear women's clothes, because maybe they feel like that's who they are. Some people discover that, you know what, maybe they actually are more comfortable wearing women's clothes, and they want to start wearing it in the daytime as opposed to just at night. So, I mean, I know many, I mean, some of the best drag performers I know are transgender women. So, I mean, it's not a surprise to me. I know that it's, you know, a little bit like taboo, because, you know, when Drag Race first started, it was a drag show, and, you know, we kind of have to water it down for like the general public, because, you know, we want to like show everyone like, oh, it's like a makeover show, so you want to see the transition from boy to girl, so it's not nearly as interesting if she just turns from girl to girl with lots of makeup on. So you know, I can understand why, like, there's a little bit of, like, you know, hesitance to, like, come out as transgender on the show. But, I mean, that's casting. They cast these performers, and, you know, we get to know them, and sometimes we get to know some extra stuff, like who they really are. And some of these girls won't tell anyone, and so this can get on the show, because they know that getting on the show is going to change their life, you know? And, you know, that's how they want to do it.
Right.
Who knows? I think that they'll probably end up being like a really sickening transgender girl coming on an upcoming season. I hope that'll be fun to watch.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I personally have a friend of mine who transitioned from male to female, but, you know, I mean, for her, she always referred to herself. What's that?
I didn't say anything.
And she was, for her, she always referred herself into third person. I had to, you know, wrap my brain around that, because I'm not used to someone who is transitioning always referred to himself in the third person, because I never, you know, never experienced anything like that. I mean, she was my first transgender friend who fully, you know, did the transition. Well, her boy name was Jorge, but I don't know what her girl name is now. She moved away, you know. But I don't know where she's at now. But all I know is she completed her transition.
Yeah, well, everyone's transition is completely different, and I feel like a lot of times, because until recently, it wasn't really talked about as much, so a lot of people didn't really know about it, and I know that, you know, when I first started doing drag, I had to tell people that, oh, no, I don't want to be a girl. I want to be a boy that just dresses up, and then I take it off at the end of the night. I want to be specific about that. But
right.
I know some people have a, you know, everyone's transition is different, and everyone transitions differently. Some people will do surgeries, and some people, they don't even have to. Some people just are just nice, are just happy with, you know, keeping what their body is doing, but just, you know, living it as, living their life as the gender they feel. So
right.
The transition is very different. Not everyone can afford to get, like, facial feminization or have their Adam's apple shaved off or, you know, get tits or, you know, have their ribs broken so they have a smaller, you know, the things that we do to our bodies to become the people who we want to be. Some people can do that. Some people don't want to do that. You know, so everyone's transition is different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have, like, I don't think you have to have, like, the parts and the proper parts to say who you are. I mean, whatever you want to do, I think. And it takes a lot of time as well.
Right.
It's not just like, I just want to be a woman today. Like, let me just schedule a surgery appointment and then I'll turn into one tomorrow. It's not like
right.
that. It could take years. It could take decades.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you have to work on in order to feel complete. You know, I have no desire of, you know, being a woman, stuff like that. You know, I'm more happy with who I am now, I mean, you know, than I was back then. Because, I mean, you know, I grew up in a small town where everybody knew everybody. It's kind of almost like Cheers, you know, and, you know, where you would have, like, you know, like, family members, you know, like, you know, being a spy and trying to figure out, you know, who you come home with and what time and stuff like that. And they'll, like, say, for example, they'll, like, call your parents, say, like, did you know that your son came home at so-and-so time with a man or a woman and stuff like that. You know, that's how, you know, I just basically didn't really come out to all my family members because, you know, it's none of their business. I'm like, if they ask, you know, I'll tell them. You know, if they don't, you know, I'm not denying who I am, but it's none of their business. I mean, it's mine, and you know, it's just if you want to ask me, just be upfront and honest about it instead of, you know, being, you know, shady and, you know. And just being, you know, being that type of person.
Yes.
I'm not sure how it was for you when you were growing up, but, you know, but for me, it was just really hard for me because, you know, my family was born again Christian, where they being like, oh, if you're gay, that you're going to burn in hell and all this. But, you know, but my immediate family, you know, they're okay with it, you know.
It's a process because it is a coming out. Coming out is difficult because I feel like especially when we're young, we don't truly know ourselves all the way. I mean, I don't even think I know myself all the way. I'm just learning about myself all the time, every day. So it's like, it's hard, especially when you aren't sure, and especially when you're really dependent on the people around you. It's really hard to say something when you feel like it might put a target on you.
Right.
But yeah, it's the coming out experience in any form, in any way, be it that you are coming out as gay, telling people that you're a drag queen, or maybe that you're trans, or even that you who knows? any kind of big announcement is always hard. So,
right.
But you know what I realize is that sometimes you just have to come out, be honest with yourself, and with those around you, if those around you don't accept it, then you just have to realize that those aren't the people that you should be around, even if it is your family. There's plenty of people in the universe, and I'm sure there's someone out there that's going to accept you for who you are. No one, not everyone's going to accept you. Not everyone's going to like you. That's not the point. As long as you're happy with who you are. And I think a lot of times that a lot of people aren't sure about how they're able to make themselves happy. So it's very difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what was I want to ask you a personal question if that's okay.
Sure.
What was harder for your parents for you coming out as a gay man, or was it coming out as a drag queen?
Oh, coming out as a drag queen was easy, honey. The coming out as gay was very difficult. I mean, my experience was kind of unique. I wasn't ready to come out. I was kind of like outed. So I thought, oh, well, I'm outed now, so I'll just go with it. So it was difficult. I wasn't ready. But I mean, that's sometimes you just got to be thrown into the deep end, and that's how you learn how to swim. So yeah, it was very difficult for me to come out as gay because I had been keeping it in for so many years. I thought that I was going to kind of sweep it under the rug for the longest time. I was trying to figure out how I was going to proceed with my sexual tendencies in the real world. But yeah, it was very difficult coming out. I don't think it ever really is easy for anyone. I think I'm happy that like I had a family that, you know, they had their period of denial and where they wanted me to go see the priest, but they got used to it.
That's the same way with me. I mean, you know, my mom, I didn't come out to my mother. You know, my brother and sister told my mother that I was gay. And, you know, and I was still in high school. And, you know, and my mom goes, you know, she goes like, Jason, can I ask you a question? I'm like, you know how like when your parents ask you a question, you get like really, you know, like guarded, you know, or like get defensive. My mom goes, Jason, are you gay? I'm going like, yes, I am. And, you know, she goes like, you know, how come you tell me that? We could have talked about it, you know. And I'm like, Mom, you know, you're never home. You're always taking care of my dad and stuff like that. And, you know, it was a long, you know, huge battle, you know. But, I mean, now, you know, she is okay with it. You know, she met people that I've dated and stuff like that. I mean, you know, but I think it's still in the back of her head that she's like, oh, it's still a phase. You know, Jason's gonna grow out of that phase and meet the right girl and have kids, you know, blah, 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 you know. And I'm like,
I don't think that excuse works anymore. I think that people kind of are over the fact that it's no longer phases anymore. Well, I mean, honestly, though, like, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you could be a gay man, and that doesn't mean that you can't still marry a woman, have kids, do your whole like, you know, standard society thing. I mean, everyone's life is different. I mean, I know lots of gay guys who date girls. I don't know why, but you know, it doesn't really. I mean, love is love. If you're in love with someone, you don't have to have necessarily a sexual relationship with someone that you love. So
right.
I guess in a way that, you know, there's always that like glimmer of hope that mom will get grandkids from you. But yeah, everyone's experience is a little bit different, and that's what's fun and unique about everyone is, you know, there isn't really. I was told when I was first coming out that it's actually kind of a really special thing to be gay, because not everyone gets to be it. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's true. I mean, I do get to live an extra fabulous life without even having to try.
right. You know, no one
like,
can be.
I can be comfortable with being gay. So, yeah,
right.
I mean, everything's different with different people. So, well.
Right. You know, I mean, it's I think it's one of these, you know, special, you know, gifts or talents that, you know, that being as a gay man that you can, you know, do anything that you want and still look, you know, really good or look really fabulous doing whatever that you do, you know, the funniest thing that I ever, you know, I ever experienced was like, you know, I had this really good friend of mine. She's a straight girl and, you know, and her parents were like very conservative and stuff like that. You know, once her mother found out she had a gay best friend, she goes like, you know, and she goes like, I gotta meet him, stuff like that. I'm like, you know, I get really, you know, like kind of cautious, you know, but you know, she goes like, you know, like I got like another child spoiled. So I'm like, oh boy, you know, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's uncanny, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of surreal in a way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It might be different for everybody else, but you know, I have one more question to ask you, Manila. For all the new generation of drag queens that are coming out, do you have any advice to give the new queens on how to be a better drag queen today?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm still trying to figure out how to be a better drag queen myself. But I feel like because there's now a lot of drag queens that you can reference, make sure to reference the queens that are around you so that you can either steal from them and make it better, do something completely unique to yourself, or, you know, learn from their mistakes, or from their achievements, I guess. The outlet for drag is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Before it used to just be like, you know, drag shows and drag pageants. Now it's RuPaul's Drag Race. And now, you know, you're seeing drag queens popping up everywhere. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of opportunities out there. So to the new queens, keep doing it. It's really exciting and fun. I'm sure y'all look fabulous. So, and I'll see you on TV if you make it on RuPaul's Drag Race.
So, do you think if they do like another season of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars? What, do you see yourself being on the next season, Manila?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if they ask me, I'll consider it. But I'm not really at this point, like, worrying about it because I don't even know if there is an All Stars 2, honestly. So, I mean, there's plenty of other queens that it would be much more interesting to watch the show if it wasn't just
right.
The same queens over and over and over again. And honestly, I would run out of outfits to wear if I had to go on that show again.
Right. And you're like, no, I wore that one. No, I wore that one.
Yeah, I would have to get all new outfits made. I'd have to get all new outfits made. What a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I can only imagine how much work you have to go through in order to get, like, all new outfits made and stuff like that. You know, they're like, oh, this is really sickening. I'm going to have that one in that color. Maybe that one a totally different design, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
and you're not even sure if you're even going to wear it or not because, you know, it's going to get picked off first. I don't think that they're going to even ask me, so I'm not even freaking getting my hopes up. So,
right.
But there are so many other interesting characters from the show that I'm sure America and the rest of the world would love to see compete again. They got to see me compete for the crown twice. I think that's probably good enough. I didn't win either time, so I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be consistent and I won't win the third time. So we'll just sit and worry about other things. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really enjoy talking to you, Manila. I'm hoping that you come back to Columbus, Ohio, and then I can finally get to meet you.
For sure. I had a lot of fun at Axis, right? Axis is in Columbus?
Yes, it's in Columbus.
I'm sure I'll be back. I'm sure I'll be back.
You know, the only thing I can do is just ask Axis to have you come back, you know. And
yeah.
I'm hoping that they do, you know. And then,
if you want me to come to your city, start bugging your your favorite gay bar or venue to bring me out. I'll come wherever the booking is.
For sure, you know. Then I'll come up to you. I'm like, be like, hi, Manel. My name is Jason. You remember me? And you're like,
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me on here. Thanks for having me on your blog. I'm really happy that we were able to make a phone call. All right. So thank you so much. Buy my T-shirt.
I will do that, Manoa, for sure.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Mwah. I just want to say thank you to my good friend, Manoa Lazon, for coming on my show. She was from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 3, and she was also on RuPaul's Drag U. So, I mean, I want to say a really big thank you to Manoa, because, you know, she is so sweet and so lovely. And I mean, if anybody who wants to have Manoa come to their local gay club, you know, just like have the local venues, you know, like, you know, email them, you know, saying like, you want to have Manoa come to your local gay bar, or, you know, whatever. And you just keep on, you know, emailing them until they, you know, like, they get Manoa come to you, to your local gay bar, or like local, you know, gay dance club or whatever, you know. I highly recommend if anybody who wants to have any previous guests from on my show, just feel free to ask me, and I'll point you to the right direction, you know. And, you know, but some of my previous guests are, you know, been booked up months and months and months ahead of time. But, you know, once they become free, you know, to be on your show or whatever, you know, they'll come on your show and you can, you know, talk to them and stuff like that. In October, I am having Michael Alley, the king of the club kids from the 90s, coming on my show on the 26th of October. Starting in October, Beyond the Veil of Darkness is totally different, you know, from spin. You know, I am steering away from the paranormal. I'm going to have, my show's going to be mostly going to be focusing on LGBTQI, you know, topics and discussions. Like, I'm going to have, you know, like more drag queens coming on my show, and, you know, local, maybe like local drag queens here in Columbus, Ohio. You never know who I'm going to have. I'm just going to be focusing my show more on, you know, the gay topics, you know, gay discussions and stuff like that. I am basically going to be steering away from paranormal because, you know, it's going to be, you know, my show basically took a 360. I mean, I, you know, since I've been having, you know, like drag queens on the show, I mean, a lot of them became my really good friends. I haven't met them yet, but I consider them always my good friends. You know, it's, I think, you know, since having them on has made my show more of a success. And, you know, it's always good to have them on my show, you know. But you never know. You never know who I'm going to have on my show next. So in October, my show, I'm going to be announcing the new show name here in about another week or so. And then, you know, Beyond the Veil of Darkness is going to retire. But I might do. I might come back as for on Halloween for, like, you know, like a paranormal kind of like Halloween show or whatever. So that is gonna, you know, after that, Beyond the Veil of Darkness is going to come back on Halloween, and that's really about it. You know, like I said, if anybody who wants to have like my guests from like my drag queen guest on my show who is on there. You know, if, like, say, like, it's my good friend Tiffany, my producer Tiffany, who wants to have, you know, Alaska on her show or whatever, you know, I'll just point her in the right direction. And, you know, and just have Alaska come on. If she wants to have, like, Angina or Manila, or Sharon Needles, or oh gosh, there was a lot of them I had on my show, and you know, I love every single one of them. You know, I'm also going to try to, you know, don't hold me to it. I'm going to try to get Adore Delano on my show here very soon. I know she's a really big, busy girl. Actually got to meet her in August at ACT here in Columbus, Ohio. She's very sweet and lovely. And I have to say, I mean, I was like, I'm like, really? I'm like, you're taller than me. I'm like, really? I'm like, you know, but, you know, I you know, like I said before, you know, I met Adore, then this past Saturday I got to meet Jocelyn Fox. I mean, she was so sweet and so lovely. You know, at least I didn't have to, you know, like look up while I talked to her. I'm like, oh, hey, Jocelyn, and stuff like that. So, I mean, all the ones that I have met so far have been sweet and lovely and energetic. You know, so I don't know who I'm going to have on my show next, but I think, you know, I'm going to take the last week off from Beyond the Veil of Darkness, and I'm going to be working on my new show here coming up. And once I do that, I'm going to reveal the name, and then I'm going to have, like, an all-new website for the show and stuff like that. It's going to be all LGBTQI, you know, topics and discussions, and have, like, you know, anybody who is, you know, in the general vicinity who is, like, openly gay, and they want to come on my show and talk about, you know, their experience of being, like, a gay man or a lesbian or transgender or bisexual or whatever. You know, I mean, whatever you feel that you are, you know, if you want to come on my show and talk, and we can have, like, an open discussion about whatever, you know, that'd be great. You know, I'm just going to be working on trying to, you know, keep on building up my show. And, you know, I mean, my show has gotten very popular since, you know, like I said, I have some good time drag queens on my show. You know, I mean, especially my producers on Tiffany Den, they love, you know, my show for having drag queens on. I mean, especially Tiffany, she loves having drag queens on my show. So I'm going to be having more drag queens for sure. Then I'm not sure if anybody else. I've been really fixated on this TV show called The Witches of East End. If anybody's a big fan of that, you know, I watched that show. It's awesome. So if anybody who's a big fan of Revenge, that's coming back tonight. So I'm going to be watching that for sure. And then I'm going to be, you know, now I'm going to be getting back into, like, all the other stuff. You know, but just, like, stay tuned for the new show that I'm going to be doing. So I can't reveal what it's going to be yet, but, I mean, I'm going to be announcing it on Facebook and Twitter. And I don't get into Pinterest or Instagram or anything like that. I'm mostly on Twitter and Facebook. That's about it. I just don't get into other silly social media networking websites and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, what can you do? It's one of those things. Yeah. But, you know, and also in October, you know, Walking Dead's coming back. I mean, you know, I'm a Walking Dead fan. You know, I'm going to be doing all that, and I'm going to be doing what I'm doing. You know, but you know, I'll let everybody know it's all going to be going on for my new show here in about another week or so. So I just wanted to say that this is your host, Jason Belcher, from the last Beyond the Veil of Darkness show. So I hope everybody has had a good weekend. You know, I know I should have had a good weekend for sure. You know, I'm just recovering from only having 3 hours of sleep. So, you know, other than that, this is Jason Belcher from Beyond the Veil of Darkness. So, in October will be my brand new show. I'm gonna, you know, just keep an eye out for that. So, I hope everybody has a good night. You know, good weekend or whatever. So, hope everybody has a a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Monday. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's going to go from there, you know, and hope everybody has fun, you know, relax, you know, party, you know, let your hair down, go to a really good club and play party, you know. So I hope everybody has a good night. And I'll see everybody again in October. Good night, everybody.